Matthew, and it's wonderful to be back. I just wish I had been 10, 20 years younger in my life. I could have finished the minister for you. Grace to our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Rejoice, the Lord is near. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So let us rejoice as we sing joy to the world.
Psalm 96.
Joy to the world. Psalm 96. We join with the hosts of heaven to sing your praise and to offer you worship. For you are worthy. Father, you are worthy of adoration from every mouth. from every tongue, we all should praise you. You created the earth by your power. You saved the human race by your mercy. You make it new by your grace. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we offer you our grateful praise. Loving God, Lord of the Church, we come to you to confess. We confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with all our hearts, or have we served you with all our strength. Father, we've been blind to the vision of our new words. We have been deaf to your call to costly discipleship. We have been indifferent to the suffering of others. We've been unwilling to forgive one another. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, hear our confession. In your mercy, Lord, pardon and restore us, that together in the ministry of Christ, we may serve you with joy for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes may not perish, but have eternal life. Hear then Christ's words of grace. Friends, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 9, and we're reading that. I know I have it from 1 to 7, but I'm reading from 2 to 7. I'm just missing out that one verse. And then there's a chapter later on. But God's word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. As warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God, and may those who hear it be blessed. Let's pray. Most gracious God, fill us with the knowledge of your word, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we might lead lives that are worthy of the Lord. Lives to be pleasing to him. And just that we might bear fruit in all our good works. Show us, O God, what you would have us know and what you would have us do. Lord, we pray that you You bless the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts at this time. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, this passage that we have just read, it's a famous passage, Isaiah's famous passage that was often read at Christmas. However, I think if I tried to preach this verse by verse, we'd probably still be here to the new year. So I'm simply going to look at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. I think that's what we should look at this morning. Of all the customs surrounding Christmas, the one that stands out is the custom of giving each other gifts. There are other special occasions, of course, there's birthdays, there's anniversaries, there's weddings, there's Father's Day, Mother's Day, and so on, where somebody is given a gift. But at Christmas, only at Christmas, do we all give each other gifts. Because it highlights, it makes real that central event. In some ways, the central truth of Christmas. You see, Jesus came at Christmas. And he just didn't come. He was given. Scripture says, for unto us a son is born, and unto us a son is given. A child is born, a son is given. That's the central event of Christmas. And all the gift giving is a sense to make that real. What I'd like to do this morning is look at the idea of Jesus as a gift. And the first thing is, like any great gift, the gift's a surprise. It's a surprise a child is born. You know, Sandra and I aren't really surprised about our gifts. She's been telling me for the past 3 months what she wants for Christmas. What she wants me to buy her for Christmas. And when she asks what I want, I tell her something cheap. But with gifts, children's gifts, it has to be a surprise. You know, do you remember? As I was a child, I was put to bed on Christmas Eve, not knowing what would be there when I got up in the morning. I did a lot of hinting for months and months before Christmas, but I was never sure I would get what I wanted. And the classic response, of course, is when you do get something, it's a joyful response. And when we open the gift, it's, sure, I didn't expect this. But now that I see it, it's exactly what I need. I would never have got this for myself. You see, that's what describes Jesus. That's what describes Jesus. The Jesus Christmas gift of all time. He's a surprise. He's not what the world expected. So he's not on, I can assure you, he's not on the world's Christmas list. What the world wanted or what the world expected was power, not weakness. Some miracle man, not a baby. And that's the reason in later life Jesus was so popular. Because he looked like that sort of gift. He looked like the miracle man gift. He healed people, he fed people, he saved people. He was the miracle man. But when his career ended in weakness, you see, it started in weakness. It's a child that was born. A child born to a poor family in the slums. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Who lives not the life of some political superstar or some political leader, but an itinerant preacher, teacher, who ends up dying like a lamb to the slaughter. You see, when his career ends in weakness and death, everybody says, forget it. Forget it. This couldn't be the gift. This couldn't be what God's given us. This couldn't be our salvation. You see, most people rejected him. He wasn't on their Christmas list. He wasn't what they expected. Now, let me get a little bit personal here. You see, it's the same reason most people reject Jesus today. What we expect is the answer to all our problems, because we all believe our problems are caused by people out there, conditions out there. And if God gives me the gift that I want, if God really is out to save me, He's sending into my life power, not weakness. He's sending into my life power to bring the evil doer down. See, that's the opinion of Joe Public. The reason we have so many problems in our society, the reason we have so many problems in Crossbar, is because of them. You see, it's never me. It's them. Because if everybody in the world was like me, we would have a pretty good society. You see, it's them. It's the lazy. It's the lawless. It's the criminals. They're all pulling us down. The gift I need is the power to sort them out. However, you see, the Bible's analysis isn't like that. It's very different. You see, the gift you find under the world's Christmas tree on Christmas morning is not the gift they expected. You see, the Bible analysis is, our problem's not out there. It's in here. The problem's not that other people are making you miserable. You see, the problem is you're a sinner. The problem is you're self-centered. The problem's in your heart. You see, the last thing you need is a Messiah to come along and destroy all the evildoers. Because if this Messiah comes along and destroys all the evildoers, it's bye-bye world. Because we would all be destroyed. Every one of us. You see, instead what you want, instead of what you need, is someone who will come and deal with your sin. Someone who will cleanse you of your sin and who will forgive and set you free. Can you see that? To receive the Christmas gift, of all Christmas gifts, we need to kneel and we need to pray. We need to say, Lord, when I first saw Jesus as a Christmas gift, I really didn't expect them this way. But now I see it's what I need. We say, we need to pray, Lord, we wanted power. I thought my real problem was I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough connections. I didn't have enough relationships in my life. But now I see the real problem is I'm not so much a sufferer or need to have any sugar diet. I'm a sinner who needs a savior. I'm not someone who just needs someone to deal with the problems out there. I need someone to deal with the problems in here. You see, I need to be freed from my self-centeredness. I need to be freed from the guilt that goes with my self-centeredness. I need to have my sins dealt with. We need to be on our knees and say, Father, change me. You see, that's the message of Christmas. And before I move on, let me say there's hope. There's hope, because that's the kind of gift that God has left on your Christmas tree. Because Jesus is a gift. He's a surprise. You know, because Jesus is a gift, Christian religion is all grace. Now, when the Bible says, unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given, it means everything that God does is given to you. No payment. It's sheer and complete grace. It's total generosity. And we're not like that. Let me tell you a story that I'm not very proud of. 50 years ago, and 50 years is a long time. 50 years ago, I personally spent a month, 30 days in the cells because I took the blame of someone else's crime. And when I was released, I didn't go and hug the guy or give him a gift. I blackened his eye and I broke his nose. Can you imagine me saying, you know, here's a person who allowed me to go to the cells, I'm going to give him a gift? Can you imagine looking around and saying, what's the best thing I have? What's the closest thing I have to my heart? What is the most precious possession I own? I'm going to give him that. Can you imagine me doing that? Of course not. Of course not. It's unimaginable. And yet the Bible says that's what God's done. That's what God did for you. God has given you a gift. It's complete grace. It's not wages. It's not something you earned. And he gave you the apple of his eye. It was your Christmas gift. It was his son. And he died to sort out your problems. Now, before we move on, let me say, when I got saved, 1st of May 1988, on the road to Durban, when I got saved in South Africa, I prayed for forgiveness for hurting my friend. And I prayed that he would come to know the Lord. And when I returned from South Africa, I rejoiced because my prayer had been answered. My friend was saved. And we made our peace. And I was asked to officiate at his, the family asked me to officiate at his funeral a couple of years back. And you know, today I have no doubt his last breath on earth was his first breath in heaven. And I have no doubt that today he basks in God's glory. You see, his only contribution was a belief and acceptance of Christ as Savior, an acceptance of the Christmas gift that was given to him so many years ago. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And because Jesus is a gift, Christianity is all grace. Salvation is all grace. Do you understand that? Can you understand that? Now, the last thing I want to point out is gifts tell you as much about the recipient as they do about the giver. Up until now, we've been looking at what it tells us about the giver. But here I want to consider, what does the gift of Jesus Christ tell us about us? What does it tell us about ourselves? How do you respond to the Christmas gift of Jesus? You see, Jesus gives this wonderful illustration, and it's in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Listen. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and bought it. You know, that's a great story. In fact, it's a very, very important story for us this morning. You see, the idea here is a pearl merchant, an expert. He knows all about good pearls. He knows all about great pearls, world-class pearls. And he knows the difference. And he goes in and out of the harbour towns and he sees where the pearl divers and the wholesalers market their pearls. And he looks through the boxes and he spots a world-class pearl. A world-class pearl, a once-in-a-lifetime pearl. This pearl is worth infinitely more than virtually all the other pearls in the match. And he's the only one that knows it. He alone knows it. So he pulls it out and he says to the store owner, how much do you want for this one? Well, the store owner, he knows a good pearl too. He can see that this merchant wants it. So he asks for a big place. But you see, the poor merchant really doesn't know the value of the poor. So the seller, he asks for a high price, and it's the same sum as the net worth of the merchant. What does the merchant do? Well, the Bible says he went away and he sold everything he bought. Do you know why? Because he knows the pearl's worth. He knows the pearl's worth 1,000 times more than his net worth. And he knows that if he impoverishes himself, no matter how poor he is, he has nothing else but the pearl. Even if he's nothing else but the pearl, he has made the deal of a lifetime. So he goes away with joy. He goes dancing down the road. There's no sadness. He's not feeling poor. He goes with great joy. Now contrast that. Contrast that. On the other hand, you have a lot of people who have looked at wonderful, wonderful works of art, masterpieces, and they can't see it. You know, history shows us again and again great masterpieces that today we would consider one of the masterpieces of the ages, and they were poorly received by the critics. But you see, today, 500 years later, everybody listens to either the music or admires the painting or marvels at the sculptor. And we don't even remember the names of the critics, the ones who said it's trash. You see, time will tell you what a masterpiece is. The gift we were given at Christmas 2,000 years ago is a masterpiece of all time. You see, the gospel says Jesus came in weakness, not strength. He came to die. He came to die for your sins so that you could receive him as a savior. And that you could be brought in to, by sheer grace, the family of God. That's the gospel that I want to ask you. How do you react to that? Do you know, 500 years ago, there were thousands of churches everywhere. And that you could have gone into any of those churches and you'd have heard the same message that you're hearing preached this morning. If the world is still 500, it's still here 500 years from now, you'll still be able to walk into the churches and you'll still hear the message that you're hearing this morning. The same one. Even though the most people reject it. Why? Because the gospel's a masterpiece. Because the gospel is the pearl of great price. You can reject it now, but 500 years from now, it'll be preached and nobody will remember your name. Your name will be forgotten. See, the gospel is the pearl. How you respond to it tells you something about you. It tells you who you are. And if you're indifferent to the gospel, or you don't like it, then you don't like to hear about sin. You don't like to think that you're a sinner. You don't like to think that Jesus had to die for you. You think that the whole thing is just a lot of malarkey. My Christian friends, here's how I want to end this. And here's how I want to help you. Do you have the joy of the poor merchant? What I mean is, it's one thing to just say, oh yes, what Jesus done for me is great. Super. But the joy of the poor merchant means you're so captivated by the value of it. The poor merchant holds it up and he watches it and he looks at it. And because the glory of it fills his heart and because the glory of it fills his mind, he's able to part with everything. He's able to part with anything. Why? Because he knows the true value of it. So he has this unusual new perspective. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you could look in holy amazement of what he did for you at Christmas, if you were able to adore him with laughter and tears and grateful joy all that he's done for you, you would be completely transformed. And all your problems would be over. Now I know that we sit here and we listen and we say, Joe, it's expensive, that got a cost. I'm facing a cost. But obedience is costly, isn't it? If you were to obey everything Jesus said, some of you know it would mean it probably cost your relationship. Some of you know it may cost you money, but the Bible says be generous when you feel financially unstable. So it costs you money. The Bible calls you to forgive people, not blacken their eye or break their nose. The Bible calls you to have integrity in your relationships, to be sexually pure, to live honestly. But if you have the joy of the prayer merchant, if you take a look and see the incredible value of what God has given you, you find yourself having power to be obedient. You see, any debit is overwhelmed by the profit. However, if the cost is too high, if you're afraid of what it might do to your career or some particular relationship, you're blind to the value of the gifts. You can't assess it, and you don't have the joy of the eye of the prayer merchant. If you could adore him as he is today, you would have courage that you don't have now. You would have, or you could have, power, integrity, character that you don't have today. But here's another problem. Some here this morning just don't believe God loves them. You're looking at the way things are happening in your life and you're saying, I don't see how God could love me. Have you ever received a gift from somebody and you were amazed at how expensive it was? You know, here's somebody at the office and the person has been a pretty good friend or somebody in the next farm and they've been a pretty good friend, but suddenly you get this unbelievably expensive gift. And you say, I don't know that person that way. What's he up to? Why is this gift so expensive? You know, the answer is the person's trying to say, you mean more to me than you know. You mean more to me than you know. Just look at the expense of this Christmas gift. This is the most utterly costly gift. Here's God, who has opened up his heart and he's given you up his treasure. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say you can trust me. He's trying to say you can trust me. There's a bleeding sore in your soul. You don't believe he loves you. You don't believe that you mean that much to him. You don't even believe you can really trust him. And what he's trying to say to you here is, look what I've given you. You can't trust me. I've given you the package. And I'm going to begrudge you the ribbon. You see, having given you my son, why? Why would I begrudge you anything else that you need? You see, if you have the eye of the pearl merchant, if you can see how expensive this gift is, if you can see how valuable it is, if you can see how wonderful it is, you'll be able to obey. You'll be able to endure your loneliness will shrink. Your self-pity will be gone. Your anxiety will be destroyed. It'll be crushed under the glory that if you can just adore him today. If you can just see who he really is. Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's somebody to be adored. In the next couple of weeks, you're going to be singing Christmas carols. You're going to be having family gatherings and so on. If you can adore him the way the hymns say to adore him, you're going to be utterly changed. Remember these words. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. Doesn't that sound like the pearl merchant? And pour contempt in all my pride were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love is so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Friends, give him everything. Give him everything as you adore this pearl of great price, and you will have the end. You'll have the deal of a lifetime. Then, I'm about to pray. And here's what I want you to do. As we pray, I want you to consider, are there ways you're not obeying him because you don't see the value of the Christmas gift? Are there ways you're not trusting him because you don't see the value of the Christmas gift? Is there cowardice in your life? Is there a lack of integrity in your life? Is there hypocrisy in your life because you don't see the value of this Christmas gift? Just take all that and give it to him and adore him. Give him whatever he has called you to give him this morning. Just give it to him. Let's stand and pray. Our Father, we are grateful. We're so grateful to you that on this day, the gift of your Son is so joyfully valuable. It's so extravagantly costly. It's so great in expense and so great in its provision. We see now that if we would only realize it, we would be completely changed people. We'd become the people we want to be. Father, we find ourselves so cowed by the obstacles in our lives. We find ourselves so anxious about the troubles that we see looming ahead. We find ourselves so guilty and trodden down because we don't feel that we're righteous enough. Lord, we see today that if we would just adore you for your Son as a gift, all these problems would be eased. And we also come, Father, to pray for your church here in Crossgar. We pray, Lord, for those in authority. We pray for the elders. We pray for the committee, that in fulfilling their duties, that they would be guided by your Spirit, that they would be upheld by your grace. And we pray, Lord, for our community, that following the ways of truth and justice, that they may be free from bitterness and strife. And Lord, by the power of your love, that they all may just live in peace. And Father, we pray for all those who are in trouble. We pray for those who are sick, that they may be cared for. We pray for those who are lonely, that they may be supported. We pray for those who are oppressed, that they may be strengthened, and those that mourn, that they may be comforted. And now, Lord, we come and we give ourselves to you as we pray. We come, Lord, and we ask that you enable us to worship you. It takes your spirit to do that, and we pray that through Jesus we can come right into your presence. We don't pray just for this morning, Father, or for tonight, or for this Christmas season. But we pray that you would give us the joy, that you would give us the eye of the pearl merchant for the rest of our lives. Just so that we can know the joy and the freedom and release of those who worship you. Those who worship you with their whole hearts. We ask it now, Father, in Jesus' name.